morning. Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Good to have the church family together. Good to have wanderers back with us. And we have some people out wandering today, it looks like. So let's keep them all in prayer. As you know, we need to continue to pray for each other continually. Amen. How many of you enjoy the prayers of others for you? Yes. God is good, and He's given us each other to help each other and to strengthen, hold each other accountable, uplift one another, and so much more. It's good to see you. Well, here in the United States of America, the last Monday of May, which is tomorrow, has been set aside for us as citizens to remember the cost of our national freedoms. I believe that in my world, my experience, we are remembering our freedom less and less. I don't know about you. You may be very dedicated to taking time on Memorial Day to reflect on the people that died so that you can have this freedom. In my world, I find myself getting distracted. Things happen. There's picnics, there's family, there's stuff to do, there's vacations to go on. And less we see nationally the honor and respect that we give to those that have died so that we can enjoy all of this. Maybe it's just, I don't see it, maybe it's just me. But we need to show our thankfulness for those who have gone before us and who have died. It began as Decoration Day back in the 1800s to honor the slain soldiers from the Civil War. And in time, it developed to honoring all soldiers of every war. Hundreds of thousands of men and women have died protecting freedom so that we can continue to enjoy the freedoms of America. They gave their lives. Their families lost husbands, fathers, brothers, sons, daughters, so that we could go have a picnic. Well, there's much more to it than that, isn't there? Part of it is that we can continue to worship the God of the Scriptures, so that we can continue to grow in Christ, so that we can continue to support the gospel message and take the message around the world. So I just want to take a moment and say, let's remember to take time to thank God for those that sacrificed everything for us. Many Americans have become our heroes. They've made the ultimate sacrifice of their very lives to grant us this peace, the freedom that we enjoy. It's been a little over 80 years ago, General MacArthur was ordered to leave the Philippine Islands as the Japanese advanced through the islands. He left reluctantly, and remember what he told the people as he was leaving? I shall return. And he did return. Took a little time, but he didn't come back alone. He came back with American troops, and they reconquered the region. It was a bloody battle over and over again, a constant fight, but it was finally accomplished. Jesus had been with his disciples 3 years, facing desperate public people in all kinds of turmoil and hardship and trials. Multitudes of people were healed through him from various diverse ailments. Some of them were fed food. Others saw the dead raised back to life. And all of them heard the word of God proclaimed in truth. They'd witnessed Jesus battle Satan's power as the Lord released scores of people from demon possession. That tormenting grip of destruction self-destruction that the demons were leading those people through. Many had taken to heart the promises of God that were proclaimed by Jesus. And through all of those miracles and teachings, Jesus was also preparing his disciples for his departure. Jesus wasn't going to stay on earth. That was not the plan of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus began his farewell message. It's recorded by John, the apostle. The time for his great act of redemption was at hand. It was just hours away. And he comes down very bluntly and tells him, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be dead. But I am rising in 3 days. How many of those disciples believed that message at first? Zero. No. Oh, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Look at the multitudes that welcomed you on just a few days ago. The grand entry into Jerusalem. Jesus says, no. You don't understand. This is God's plan. But he tells them, he reminds them that he will rejoin them briefly. But that's not all that he said. In John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18, he also promised them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. What's that all about? The Spirit, Holy Spirit. I've heard about that. I remember Joel kind of talked about that. But the people were not familiar with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has to teach them more specifically. Jesus taught many more truths in the next coming moments, and then he returns back to the subject of the Holy Spirit, giving them more details. Today's message is going to focus on the first part of that fuller knowledge about the Holy Spirit in the world. I plan to do a follow-up message, Lord willing, next week on the Holy Spirit in believers' lives. But today we're going to briefly focus on the Holy Spirit in the world. Before we get to this text in John chapter 16, please join me in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for hope and promise in him. We thank you that he came and lived that perfect life, gave himself as that final perfect sacrifice, and we just praise you and thank you that he conquered the power of sin and death with life, and he rose again, just as he promised, just as your word had foretold. We thank you that he has given us instruction, that it was recorded for us. Help us to live for you. Help us to do our part in your plan. Father, I pray that we will allow your Spirit to work in us as you have planned, that we would be receptive, that we would be obedient as we allow the Spirit to work in us and through us. Lead us and guide us in these coming moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that we're looking at today is John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Reading from the New American Standard Translation, we find these words. Jesus is speaking, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now in these short verses that we just read, Jesus has pointed out 3 points for us to take to heart. He's promised that He would give the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit cannot function until He leaves the world. And what is the Spirit going to do? We find Jesus reveals a threefold work of the Holy Spirit in these verses. The first point, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Now, I can't tell you everything that the Holy Spirit does, but I'm just going to try to summarize four quick points, with the subject of the Spirit convicting the world of sin. We see this referred to back there in verse 8 and 9. The Greek meaning of the word sin is to miss the mark. It is a word used from archery, and it's used in battle, referring to missing the target or missing the bullseye. What target in humanity is humanity missing? We're falling away from God. We are failing to obey our Creator, His directions, and specifically, we're failing to obey everything Jesus Christ teaches us. And the Holy Spirit, what is He doing? He's convicting individuals in the world of this missing the mark, of our failures, of our sin against God. This is what the Scripture tells us. It teaches us how far away from God we have become. Every human born is under this curse of sin. We started out Genesis chapter 3 and learn of the first two people, how they disobeyed. Continues on in Psalm 14 and 53, we are told how many people are righteous? Zero. How many are unrighteous? All of us. We're all sinners. And this topic is picked up again in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul spends quite a bit of time addressing this step by step through the book of Romans. How everybody, except for the one perfect one, is afflicted and affected by sin. The curse of sin and death that began with Adam and Eve has been passed on to every person born, with the exception of Jesus, because He was not all human. He was half God, half man. How that is possible, only God can explain that. We know of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and that Jesus was born, He is God-man. He was our Savior, He still is the Savior of the world, and we have to put our faith and trust in Him. Jesus came to release people from the grip of sin. We know this from the study of Scripture. Jesus came from heaven into this world as the Son of God, full of divine power and authority over the grip of sin and death. Jesus said about Himself, back there in John chapter 3, the Apostle John recorded that favorite verse, John 3:16, right? But there's more to it, verse 17 and 18 also, so let's go through all of that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only, what? Begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those are the words of God, Jesus Christ. If you believe in Him, you can have life. If you don't believe in Him, you're already judged. You're condemned. How many people want to die? Most people don't want to die. We avoid death. It's bad, right? We want life. God built into us the desire for life. But that's only possible for eternity through Jesus. Jesus commands believers to tell others about this salvation in Him. Jesus said, if you love Me, you will keep My commands. This is also found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15. It's repeated in verse 22, a similar statement. That command includes who? includes us. We must be tellers of of the Lordship of Jesus Christ to the world. Just as the first century Christians shared their belief in Jesus Christ with others, we are to follow the same pattern, sharing Jesus with others. Our job is to plant the Word of God, to plant the seed of God in the hearts of people, in their ears, if you would, to let them hear. To plant, to water. But where does the growth come from? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's doing the inside job. We can't get into a person's mind. A lot of us try to get into somebody else's mind. What are you thinking? Well, the Holy Spirit knows exactly where they're at. And He's working on them through the Word of God that who told them? That you told them. And others like you. We are to plant the Word of God in people's minds, in their heart, in their lives, telling them about Jesus, about His life, about His victory over the grave. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 sums up the job of believers. We are to tell others. If they are believers, we do what? We baptize them. And if they are true to faith, they will continue to be open to learn more. Teach, baptize, teach. That's our job. It's not our job to convict somebody. That's up to the Holy Spirit to do the conviction part. Just a little side note. Some of you have already heard, but we have different individuals come to our men's group on Thursday nights. One of them is Tony Morales Torres. I was blessed to have the privilege of baptizing Brother Tony Friday afternoon. Praise God. And he says, I've been thinking about this for a long time. And there's a lot of people around us who are thinking about it for a long time. It's the Spirit of God working in their hearts saying, you need to follow the commands of Jesus. And it's our job to be ready to help them through the process, through the next step. So watch for those opportunities. Watch for those people who are searching for the truth. Let the Spirit of God do His part, and then you do your part. Teach, baptize, teach them more. The Spirit uses Scripture to convict the hearts of sinners. Jesus said that His sheep will hear His voice. Back there in John chapter 10. His voice is what? It's the Scripture. It's the message of the Bible. And how are they going to hear the message of the Bible? Well, sometimes they hear it through the radio. Sometimes they hear it through the television. But more importantly, they can hear it from us. We need to be the spokesman, telling people of our faith in Jesus and why we believe. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Remember, the Gospel of John opens up, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ acts through the stories, the message, the gospel truths as we share them with people and touches their hearts. Jesus knows His sheep and He calls those who are His, those who are open to His leadership through the Word that is spoken. How does Jesus do that? He does that through the Holy Spirit. He's working in people who have heard the message of God. Jesus and the Spirit and God the Father are one. They are working together, trying to bring the world to His salvation. We find in the Bible that the Holy Spirit guides Christians to speak the message of Christ. Then the Spirit works through the hearts of those who hear that message that was spoken, convicting that person of their personal need for Jesus. So I want to encourage you to let the Spirit do His job as you follow the prompting of the Spirit. Sometimes you'll just feel an urge. I haven't seen Fred or George or Martha for a while. I wonder what they're doing. And that's an opportunity. The Spirit is saying, hey, you need to go call them. You need to go see them. You need to go talk to them and watch for the doors of opportunity to share who? Jesus and what Jesus is doing. And then let that Spirit, God's Spirit, work through the words that He gave you to say to touch their hearts and prepare them. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. The second point is the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. We see this in verse 8 and 10. Once Jesus completed the act of redeeming humanity through His death, He was returning back to His home, His eternal home, with His Heavenly Father to be at His side. What is Jesus doing? He's serving as our advocate. He is speaking for us. He's protecting us. But what else is going on? The Spirit of God remained to continue the work of God here in this world, to remind people there is righteousness. There is a difference between right and wrong. It's not your choice. It's what God says. Our world keeps thinking it can take a vote on what's righteous and what's evil. No, God has given us the guidelines. And the Spirit of God is upholding righteousness through... How is He doing that? Well, the resurrection of Jesus proved that Jesus was the righteous Messiah, Son of God, because death can only hold sinners in its grasp. How much sin did Jesus have? None. So death could not hold Jesus in the grave. Death holds a curse only over sinners. The righteous live in the life given by God. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit didn't leave the innocent Christ in the grave. He broke out. He broke through the gates of death. He conquered death. Believers who are transformed by Christ live as godly examples to others. We have been transformed through Christ to be God's light in the world. Jesus is the light of the world. God is the light of the world. And we are made to be what? Light in the world. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21 gives us a list of sinful practices. It's one of many lists. Have you taken time to examine to see if you're doing things that are in that list of corruption, of worldliness? And then immediately following that list are two verses that tell us about what we should be doing. The fruit of the Spirit of God working in us. What's the first three? Love, joy, peace. You remember the rest of them? We're going to move on. The Spirit is present in our lives. The principles of righteousness are in us, shining through us to the world and reminding the world of what is right in the eyes of God. Our lives are a testimony. The question is, are we a testimony for God or for Satan? And again, that list in Galatians, if you find yourself leaning more in the ways of the world, have you really surrendered your life to Jesus? Or are you finding yourself truly being transformed by the Spirit? in the last part of that list, verse 22 and 23. Which list describes you? God's Spirit guides Christians to speak the truth to the world, to live in godliness. Jesus paid for how many sins? Every sin of every person worldwide for all time. Don't these people who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, don't they deserve to hear of what has happened in their behalf? Yes, they do. That's why Jesus commanded his disciples to go into how much of the world? All the world, to take the message everywhere. Another translation of that is, as you go into the world. Are we being witnesses here in Albuquerque? How much of Albuquerque needs to know Jesus? All of it. How much of Albuquerque is serving Jesus? It's kind of a sad picture, isn't it? So we still have a lot of work just right here on our doorstep. Even as we support missions going into the world, we still have a job right here at our home front, to spread the gospel, to live according to Jesus. The wonderful thing about the book of Acts, it's the recording of the beginning of the church, how it spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, even into the rest of the world. The book of Acts is not finished. Now, the one in the Bible is. Isn't the church still supposed to be alive? What chapters are we adding to the heavenly book of the record of the saints? Doing the work of God, spreading the gospel to all creation. We are doing some things. I want to encourage you, let's do more. As Brother Ray was sharing earlier, let's don't be short-sighted, but let's be preparing for the future generations. Let's prepare the message and take it to them so that more generations can come to salvation in Jesus. The Bible identifies the righteousness of Jesus. The more we read and live the Scripture, the more we see how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, for He is the Word of God who clothed Himself in the human flesh to dwell among us, to become that final Redeemer. And then God uses us through the Word to reflect His righteousness to the world. Let's be those beacons, drawing people. Just as the Apostle Paul said, follow his example, we should be telling other people, follow my example, because I'm following who? Jesus Christ. Let's be examples to the world. Examples of righteousness. Will you be perfect? No, but through the grace and mercies of Christ, we are perfected through Christ to be His representatives today. The third point is the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment. Jesus confirmed that just as surely as heaven exists, hell is also real. He refers to hell. He talks about hell through His teaching, through His parables, through His instructions. We find more instructions throughout the Gospels, through the New Testament. The teaching is very clear. There is a heaven and there is a hell that we should be trying to avoid. God holds every person accountable for their response to Him. Christ's victory over death broke that power of Satan. The Lord said in verse 11 that Satan, the prince of death, has been judged by God, the Lord of life. His future is already set. Where is Satan headed for? He's headed for hell, the final lake of fire, eternal death and destruction. Do we want to be there with him? It's our choice. Are we going to listen to God or listen to the devil? Every encounter Jesus had with demons verified Him as the Lord. Those demons immediately recognized Jesus as Son of God, fearing Him that they would receive their final judgment right then and there, and they obeyed His every command immediately. The Spirit working in Christians becomes our protection against Satan, the powers of evil, so that Satan, through Jesus Christ, has to obey Jesus Christ. We are protected. By who? By God, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit working in us. So we can go into the world as His representatives. The Spirit enables the first Christians to become overcomers of sin's grip, including the demon-possessed. God designed every person to desire to live for how long? Forever. We all want eternal life. That can only be achieved through the Word of God, Jesus, the Lord of life. Life is only possible by accepting the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus. How are the world going to know about that? It's when we tell others about Jesus, that Jesus offers them escape from judgment into the glories of life. The Spirit convicts the conscience of those who seek God. The Apostle Paul explains that those who seek God, even when they are trapped in sin, they are convicted of their corruption by the Holy Spirit through their conscience. Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3 discusses this. I encourage you to take time to read those two chapters as well as other passages. Those who are willing to believe Jesus is their Savior can be set free from the grip of sin and death. The Spirit inspired the writers to warn us of the final judgment. The Old Testament writers were inspired by God to write what they did, which warns us of God's wrath and judgment against sinners. Jesus Christ used the parables warning of eternal judgment. These are recorded in the Gospels. Peter warned us. The Apostle Paul warned us. The writer of Hebrews warns us. James and Jude both warn us. They all warn us that there is a final judgment coming. And why do you fear reading the book of Revelation? Because it talks about the final judgment. We as Christians should not fear Revelation. We have nothing to fear when we walk with Jesus. The world needs to hear this message. The Holy Spirit will continue convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But we have to be working with the Spirit in spreading the message. The Spirit uses the Word of God, both written, advertised, and spoken through us, and lived by us, to convict, to lead, to guide other people to Jesus. Are we doing our job? There are days when we don't do a good job. Would you admit that? We need to ask God for help. We need to ask God for forgiveness. Then we need to ask God, please use me. Show me what to do today, so that the world can see, experience, and know about life in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. We've just briefly touched on the magnificent work that He does. Ages past and what you want to do in the future. Use us according to your plan. I pray that we will be willing servants of yours, ready to represent you in every way possible. That we would approach the challenges with boldness in Christ, knowing that you use all things for your glory. Even our suffering can be used for your glory. So, Father, help us to faithfully serve Jesus Christ, representing Him in all things, in all ways. Lead us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.